Welcome to Inside LaPorte Schools, where we focus on real conversations, clear answers, and one community. I'm Sandra Wood, superintendent of the LaPorte Community School Corporation, and today we're taking you inside Kesslen campus for an in-depth look at the fifth grade experience. Join us as we explore the stories and voices that make our schools unique. Okay, so we are back and we are continuing the conversation about the Kesslen campus, specifically focused on the fifth grade and the integration of fifth grade into the intermediate school that took place several years back. In our last episode, we talked a lot about some of the history of that decision and that transition for the structure of our district. And today we are going to focus then on, beyond the concerns, what are the opportunities that this structure provides to our district? So we are here today with the same guests that we had last episode, Mr. Bill Wilmson, our principal for the Kesslen campus. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us again.
And we are here also with Mrs. Melissa Mrozinski, the fifth grade counselor.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And then Mrs. Lori Scroggin, who is a fifth grade classroom teacher.
Good morning.
Great to have you all back. Today's focus is going to be talking a little bit about the fifth grade experience. This is a model that doesn't exist anywhere else in our county. There are other districts that have a model like this, but no one geographically near us does. So one of the features of our district really is that we are offering a different opportunity for our students through those transitional years than anyone else. As I've dug into this a little bit, I really believe that is a huge benefit and a huge opportunity to families that are part of LaPorte Community Schools. One of the concerns is that we have funneled all of our students starting at fifth grade into a single building, and then they remain in a single building through eighth grade on the Kesslen campus, and then they transition to LaPorte High School, where again all of our students from throughout the district are in one building. And so that can bring a concern with the size of the building, the size of a cohort of kids. We obviously know that there's value in small class sizes and a small community feel to a school. So I want to talk to start just a little bit about how we have worked to build that small community starting in fifth grade and then working through as they move up. Mrs. Mrozinski, tell us a little bit about the process that you use when you're scheduling kids in fifth grade. As they're coming in, they're assigned to a class and that class switches between two teachers. What's the process you use to kind of assign students to those classes?
Sure. So after coming from 19 years in the classroom, I know the importance of that small classroom feel, and I know how important that classroom community within the kids. So I first begin the process in April, May. I reach out to the elementaries. I meet with all of the elementary counselors. I send out spreadsheets to the teachers asking for academic information, just a little bit about each of the kiddos. And the classroom teachers fill that out. I meet with the counselors. I meet with the elementary principals. We discuss what that looks like. And then I begin my madness. I hand schedule each of the, right now we have approximately 425 students. I hand schedule each of those kiddos, making sure that on the first day of school, they walk in. If they are a kiddo from Critchfield, they will walk into their classroom and they will see another familiar face from Critchfield. They will look across that room and they will feel like, whew, there's a familiar face, because that's important to me. That
absolutely.
They walking in day one. I try to do as much as I can to kind of lessen that anxiety that I know that the kiddos are already feeling.
Sure.
And I also, we have 18 incredible teachers, but those 18 teachers all have a different teaching style. They have different personalities. Mrs. Marks, she said, it's kind of like a match.com, because I try to take that kiddo's learning style, their personality,
absolutely,
and I really try to put them with a good fit for them. Some teachers that are more hands-on, we have more teachers that, you know, allow a little more movement or flexibility, or kiddos that need more structure. So I really, really take pride in trying to find a good fit for each of the kiddos.
So it sounds like before they're even getting to your building, you know them.
I do already feel like I know them so well. But that's, again, kind of goes back to me in the classroom. I really like knowing my kiddos mm-hmm. and how I can help in any way. So that helps me.
That's awesome. And I'm sure that's a lot of work for you.
It is the entire summer and lots of spreadsheets
sure,
on my den
yeah,
floor.
But, yeah.
You know,
but so important because so important. We know that transition brings a lot of anxiety and worry, both in kids and in parents.
Right.
You know, like I said, my kids are younger, but still even the transition going into kindergarten that first time, and what I learned was my kiddo did fine. It was me.
Yeah.
It was me who had the issue.
I hear a lot of that from
yeah.
parents.
I
think I was more, because by the end of week one, mm-hmm. I mean, these kiddos, they are beaming. Mm-hmm. They feel so successful. They realize it is not what they had built up in their mind.
So let's hear Mrs. Scroggins. So
sure.
you see this firsthand. So
Absolutely.
You have, being a classroom teacher, you're there the first day and you probably see the nervous faces on day one. Tell us a little bit about what you see as kids come in at the beginning and then
sure.
the progression of how they begin acclimating.
Sure, sure. And my time, I feel like, even begins before that first day of school. We have days, schedule days, where kids can come pick up their schedule. And even our open house is the night before school starts. And you can see nerves, not just with the students, but like you said, with the parents. One thing that I like to do is on those days before school starts is to reassure the parents and the students that their child is not going to have to walk through that schedule by themselves the first day, that it's okay if they can't open their locker on the first day, because we're going to get so much practice that first week, maybe even the second week. So I see a lot of relief on faces when they find that out, because when they look at that schedule as a fifth grader or a new fifth grade parent, you can tell that they're really nervous. But that's one great thing about the setup that we have, is that the two teachers that work in a team are there for the students and for the parents, like if they have questions or concerns about the first few days. So the first day of school, to me, it's a lot just like my elementary experience. The kids are excited. They might be nervous because it's a new building, or maybe they're new to the corporation. I see some students that are excited, outgoing, but again, you'll see those students sometimes tears, or just, you can just tell their nerves. But as we get our morning going, their feelings change. And like Mrs. Mrzynski said, by the end of the week, I love picking a couple helpers that are masters at lockers. And they get so excited to go out and help other students with their lockers so that they can get them. And by the end of that first week, I would say almost everyone is able to open their locker, because that's big in fifth grade, because they get to have their own locker. But a lot of students are very confident once they get to know the building and they realize that I'm going to take them places and that they're not going to have to be alone in this journey throughout Kessling. I just see a lot more smiles, a lot more excitement, and they're ready to get learning started.
And back to the parents, when you talk to the parents before school starts, I think that is a big misconception too, because I think they think back to when they were in
yeah.
middle school and bells rang and
yep.
everyone went
yep.
off all willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they come and they hear, oh, you're going to walk them everywhere, because all the children think they're going to get lost in the
yep.
building.
Yep.
And the parents, I think that too.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come and they see that fifth grade is literally just one big square up there, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Right.
You can see a lot of relief in the parents' faces that there's no bell system.
Right.
That doesn't happen. But I think that goes back to them thinking
yeah.
what their experience
right.
was.
Sure. That's a really good point, because
mm-hmm.
that bell schedule and everyone's just loose on their own and going to where they need to go on their own time and
right.
on their own schedule and that kind of thing. And that's not the model that
right.
we've created.
Right.
This is a different model that's intended to provide structure and ease the transition. So let's talk about the transition, because there's always going to be a transition from the elementary level to some middle level, whether that is the way we have it set up in the fifth grade where they're transitioning to an intermediate school, or in other districts, or how we used to, kids always transition from elementary to a middle level. It seems to me that there's a lot of dynamic that happens for those middle years, challenging things that children go through developmentally during those middle years. The transition from being children and then they transition to mini adults. That's a process that involves changes with their body, a lot of changes emotionally. a lot of changes socially that are happening at that time. And at the same time, each of those years, academics are getting more rigorous and there's increased pressure and more challenge academically. With all of that dynamic going on, the middle years are tough. I think all of us probably listening would agree that those middle years are tough for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so what potential benefit is there to placing the children into that transition where they're moving from their elementary building into the intermediate campus that is aligned with our middle school at a younger age?
Sure. I do think that there is a benefit when they are a little bit younger, because like I said in episode one, after about Christmas in the elementary, you saw a change in them. They were ready for the next phase to transition. So I do think before that prepubescent age, it is a nice transition. They're more resilient. They are making new friendships and mm-hmm. they really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I think if we did the transition later, they're kind of more locked into their friendships. These are my friends, not mm-hmm. your friends. Whereas when they're younger, they just want friends. They want to be friends with everyone. So we see a lot of incredible friendships being made. By the end of the first week, so many of them I talk to, and I'm like, oh, did you guys know each other in elementary school? And they're like, no, we just met 4 days ago. They're my best friend. I really do believe there are benefits.
And I feel like we can give them something that maybe elementary can't. We're able to give them just that little bit more independence, but also nurture them at the same time if they need us to be there for them as they are going through that transition.
Right.
It seems to me that there really is a unique opportunity to guide children through the transition in the way that we have it set up, as opposed to if we were utilizing the traditional middle school model where it is a little bit less structured. The reality is we have to transition kids at some point.
Right.
From my perspective and what I've seen and what I've observed in the time that I've been here is that we're really doing that transition intentionally mm-hmm. instead of just kind of thrusting it upon them. And I think that there's really a lot of benefit to that. And it, of course, creates anxiety. Any change does. But knowing that the transition has to happen at some point, I like to see that we're doing it in a way that we're providing the support. We're holding their hand through that transition in a way that we wouldn't be able to do if it was sixth or seventh grade.
Right.
I'd like to just add that, you know, I've been principal there for 20 years. In the first 10 years, it was the transition was between fifth and sixth grade. And I found since it's between fourth and fifth grade, it seems like that transition's smoother because of the fact that there's two teachers
mm-hmm.
and it's a smaller
mm-hmm.
situation. Yeah. And the kids are younger. And like Melissa said, they're more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle school model, you have five different teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going from class to class to class. And so I think transition smoother, that transition from sixth to seventh, because we're on the same campus, it's smooth too,
mm-hmm.
because they already know the routines.
Right.
And so I think between the fourth and fifth grade, how we have it now, you know, it's an mm-hmm. easier transition.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with the eighth and ninth grade.
Yeah.
I think the whole transition has gone well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're able to baby step them from the fourth to fifth and then ultimately from the sixth to the seventh transition. And I just think there's a lot of good opportunity with that. So, Mr. Wilmson, I want to talk to you a little bit as the principal of the entire campus. You may have a little bit more knowledge in this next area that I'd like to talk about, and that is, what are some of the advantages to having 5 through 8 on the same campus when it comes to some of the different opportunities we can offer to students? I think there's probably academic opportunity and also extracurricular. And also comparing a little bit to what we were offering to students when we were a 6 through 8 middle school. What new opportunities are available to students now that they are all integrated into a single campus, 5 through 8?
Academically, you know, the one thing that we always talk about in education is having a guaranteed and viable curriculum. By having all the fifth grade together, all the sixth grade together, all the seventh grade together, all the eighth grade together, and having one principal, we have consistency between grade levels of what the expectations are. our teachers are able to plan together and to collaborate and look at data, how kids are doing in class on standardized testing, socially how they're doing, and collaborative, okay, what's working for you? What help do I need? Who can help me? And that's a big, big change. And that's been huge, especially this year, where we're finally getting into that. And like we said before, you know, the first year we opened, that was the year COVID happened. And yeah. then kids went home the last 9 weeks.
Sure.
Then the second year, we were dealing with social distancing.
A lot of restrictions.
You know, a lot mm-hmm. of restrictions. And even into the third year. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth year, we were sort of getting back to normal. And then the fifth year, I became in charge of the whole campus. And so we had that transition. And now this is the first year where I feel like we're finally to the point of, wow, we can start making some big strides.
Yeah.
Some of the opportunities, we have Innovation Lab. We have a full-time STEM coach. And so, you know, we have a makerspace. We have robotics. In sixth grade, we have music every day mm-hmm. for a band, choir, and orchestra. So they meet every day. In sixth grade, we have, I think, 170 kids in band.
Wow.
And then orchestras around 50 kids, and our choirs between 60 and 70 mm-hmm. kids. So we have that opportunity. We are a big Project Lead the Way school. We offer between 5 through 8, 7 of the 10 courses. Athletically, we have cross country, we have wrestling, we have basketball, we have swimming in the spring, we have soccer, football. So we have a lot of different sports that kids can be involved with. We have an active builders club. We have student council. We have different clubs and activities. I can go on and on about all the different opportunities that students have at this level that mm-hmm. other places don't. And on top yeah. of that, the facilities that we have. Where the location is, we get to use Kessling Park,
yes.
which is awesome. But on top of that, we have 3 gyms. We have a track complex that has turf field. We have a secondary football field that has a track around that. Just have so much space, and you know, teachers can use that space during the day. So there's a lot of different opportunities.
Yeah, that's amazing. And one of the things to note is that these are all things that our fifth graders are able to start participating in because they're brought to the campus sooner than they would if they were at the elementary level.
Can I add something? One thing that my fifth graders love is the different electives that they get to have. Every 7 weeks, the fifth graders switch electives. So they get to have art, 2 different PLTW courses. They get to go to music. They get to go to health. So that's something that they really enjoy, being able to explore all of those different courses before they have the opportunity as they get older to choose which courses they'd like to take.
That's
yep,
amazing.
So they love that.
And
yeah.
they have gym every day,
yes.
which is a big hit. That they have gym every single day. So at first, I know parents think, well, they're losing their recess. Mm-hmm. They're losing that movement.
Yeah.
They do get a lot of movement as they are moving throughout the building because it is a large space that they're, mm-hmm. you know, led by their teachers. So they are getting a lot of movement just there. But then having gym every day
yeah.
on top
yeah.
of it. They love having gym every day.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Tell me a little bit in regard to the combining of our 2 previous middle schools. So I'm going to shift my focus a little bit away from fifth grade just for a moment, because I want to better understand combining 2 middle schools into 1 facility. I'm assuming that provided some opportunity for us to align resources, obviously, you know, having 1 campus to meet some of the unique needs of our kids. Tell us a little bit about how are we able to prepare kids for high school by offering some of those courses and high school credits early for kids okay. that are in 7th and 8th grade.
Okay, so one big area is with mathematics. With the realignment here, we're able to accelerate math course offerings, where now in 8th grade a student can have geometry because they've taken that algebra prerequisite in grade 7. In grade 6 we have the pre-algebra. So by the time that students graduate LaPorte High School as a senior, they could take Calculus BC, which is huge for students going on to college to be prepared to have that opportunity. I know from my personal experience, having children go off to college in engineering programs, my children didn't have that opportunity to have a BC course, and they were behind.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they were able to catch up, but it's a big challenge. We also offer Spanish at our level for high school credit right now. Mm-hmm. We also have some other high school credit courses that, you know, I think going into high school, a student could have 5-6 high school credits already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
amazing.
A lot of places don't offer.
Right, absolutely. What a great way that we'll be able to prepare students by their eighth grade year to really dive in when they get to their freshman year at the high school to get started on their diploma track.
And I think that's the main difference that I've seen, especially having one person in charge of the whole campus.
Yeah.
You know, it's my responsibility to ensure that we have that guaranteed and viable curriculum so that when students go on to the high school, they're ready.
Absolutely.
They can, you know, continue to grow. And it's been nice the last year and a half collaborating with the high school principal, Mr. Up, and his team regarding what can we do at our level to strengthen what happens at the high school so that our kids will graduate on time and either go to college or go into the military or go into a trade or be ready for the workforce in LaPorte. Because ultimately, our goal is to guarantee that post-LaPorte High School kids are successful.
Right.
And what's been great the last year is that we've really started to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been nice for our kids.
Absolutely.
So especially with the new diploma coming out, we're going to have to make some changes down at our level, too, to align with what has to happen at the high school level so that we can meet the needs of students.
Yes, absolutely. And then that ties into some of our goals as a district as we start to explore some of our CTE offerings and work toward our vision with the Boston building to be able to provide some of those capstone opportunities to students by the time they are in their junior or senior year to be able to be a little bit more independent. In the time that we have left, I want to shift our conversation to address how we can help parents to work through the concerns that are out there in regard to the fifth grade and the transition itself. And so to start that piece of the conversation, one of the things that comes up a lot and that we saw in the survey that we sent out was the concern related to bullying that happens at the Kessling campus. And we talked a little bit before about developmentally, the middle years are a time that, you know, I've worked in other districts and it seems that bullying tends to come up most in those middle years because the kiddos are learning about themselves. They're figuring out their social structure. They're figuring out who they are as mini adults, and that brings a lot of challenges with it. And so I want us to be able to provide some guidance to the parents that are listening to this as to how can they respond best when their child comes home and expresses concerns related to bullying. What is it that a parent can do to help ease the situation or guide the children in the right way?
Sure. I think listening to their child, hearing their concerns, and most importantly, letting us know if there is something that is going on. We have a counselor form on our campus page that they can fill out day or night. Call us, email us, just let us know. Because if we don't know that something is going on, we can't help. That is the biggest thing. And when parents do call and they understand that we take that very seriously and we dig in and get to the bottom of it, when they do call and realize how quickly we are on top of it. I hear a lot of thank yous throughout the week and this was taken care of so quickly. I appreciate this so much. We are parents too. You know, all of our children went through LaPorte schools. It's a very valid concern if you hear that, you know, someone is not treating your kiddo right. So just reaching out to us and letting us help in any way that we can. That's the biggest thing that I would love for parents to know because we don't like it.
Absolutely.
We don't like it either. We want everyone to want to come to school.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. I want no kiddo out there who does not want to come to school. Mm-hmm. That hurts my heart. Mm-hmm. We want them to want to come to school and to be successful. And if there is anything stopping that, let us know.
And I think just encouraging your child to tell us in a timely manner, not to wait. So many times I will hear this happen happened. Well, when did it happen? Oh, like a month ago. So just letting us know right after it happens mm-hmm. or soon after it happens so that it doesn't get worse. And so like Melissa said, we can take care of it right away. Right. Yeah.
And action is most effective if it's timely. Mm-hmm. Right. So.
And I want to add, as building principal, I'm in charge of the whole campus. But then at each grade level, there's an assistant principal and a counselor who are the main ones who would help in these situations. And my expectation has always been when I taught or as an administrator and as principal now is that if you contact a school, my expectation is we need to reach out to that parent that day. There should never be a time where we're not getting back to parents in a timely manner. On top of that, we may address the situation and then it gets better. Sometimes it gets worse again.
Sure.
You know, something happens again. We need to know that.
Right.
And every time something happens, it needs to be reported.
Yes.
Because like Melissa said, we can't help unless we know.
Right.
I've always taken pride in the fact that someone's going to get back to you. I have many times parents call me or email me. I may not be the one getting back to you, but I make sure I give it to the counselor or assistant principal and make sure that that is taken care of.
Yeah.
And still, if you're not pleased with what happened there, please contact me.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll have conversations that we have to agree to disagree on whatever happened. However, it doesn't mean that we're not supportive.
Exactly.
So that's the biggest thing. Continuously let us know what's
happening.
Yes,
yes. I agree. And that what I always found when I was a principal was that not every response to a child's behavior works the same way for different children. Different children will respond to different responses and different consequences to behavior in different ways. And so what I always used to say to parents was, we might have to take a different strategy, so you need to let me know if the strategy that we're starting with didn't work.
Correct.
Because then we'll take a different approach, because every child responds differently and not every reaction works for every kid. And so that open dialogue and open communication is really key. As we move forward now, we're in the second semester. The transition is coming close. And so we have a number, I'm sure, of families that are listening to this that have fourth graders right now that are thinking about and planning and know that this transition is coming right upon them soon. I want to end our segment here just with a little bit of information to share with that group of our listening audience to know what they can expect in the coming months as we prepare to help guide the transition for our current fourth graders. I know that this is an area that we are focused on this year because I believe that it's not an area that we put a lot of focus on in the past. And so that's a goal for me, is that we really enhance the transition pieces that we're putting into place for our fourth graders in that last semester of their fourth grade year. I want to share that we're in the process of putting together a district-wide committee that's going to work right now on implementing some things with our fourth graders as they're going through the preparation for the transition in the coming months, but also is going to continue to evaluate. What have we done in the past that's worked well? What can we improve upon? An example of this is Mr. Wilmson, I know last year went out to all the elementaries and did visits with families in their elementary school to give an introduction to the Kessling Intermediate School and just what they can expect. We have some things that are already in place. Can we make them better? How can we work to better support our families as they're preparing for this transition? As we wrap up, I'd like to hear from each of you. You know, what would be your recommendation to those fourth graders right now and their families as they're planning for this transition and thinking about what's to come and hopefully thinking about all the opportunities they're going to have? What would be your advice to them at this point?
From the building principal, like you said, we're going to have these meetings at each elementary school in January. In the spring, we're going to have the fourth graders over for a day where they can walk the building, see what the experience will be like. Those orientation days in the summertime where kids can come to school and walk, get their schedule, see their teachers, lockers, the back to school night before. But the other thing too is that at any time, if any of the fourth grade parents have questions about what we do on the campus, they're more than welcome to email me, to call me. Even though I'm not your child's principal now, I'm still your child's principal because I truly believe that we should be helping all kids in our corporation. Parents are more than welcome to call me, email me, and actually if they want to come in and see, you know, I'll be more than happy to meet them and personally walk them around and show them the campus and just reassure that we're here for your child. We want what's best for them. And I truly believe that we have some of the best teachers in the state, and I will hold up everything that we do for kids with anybody else around. We have great kids.
Absolutely.
A lot of times I'll be in the hallway talking to somebody. I say, man, look at all these great kids and how smiling they are and coming by me, giving me a high five in teachers. It's just awesome what happens in our schools.
It really is.
Take advantage of the opportunities to come in to see the building. Reassure your child. They are anxious. They are nervous. Those feelings are very normal. It will be okay. It is scary through the eyes of a 10-year-old and as a parent of a 10-year-old. But I think the more that they come in and they see the space and they realize, like I said, it's just one big square, I think that's a big relief for a lot of parents that they see. They are so far separated from everything else. It's a huge building, but it's a little space. So just take advantage of the opportunities to come in and see Kesslen.
Absolutely.
Because it's an amazing place.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. But I also think, too, like coming into this situation positively, because this is such an awesome opportunity for our students and our families. Coming from an elementary background, just reassuring them that fifth grade is more like elementary than some people believe. Kesslen is one big family and that we're going to take amazing care of your child. And just like Mr. Wilmson said, you can always reach out to me, too, as a teacher. You can email me, call me. I'm happy to talk to you about the teacher perspective and then just like the classroom perspective of what your children are going to encounter.
Yeah, and I appreciate all of you sharing that willingness to open up and say, even if you want to reach out individually and have your own private tour and have your own private conversation, and every family is going to be different and in the way that they want to approach the transition. And I think the key message here is that we're willing to meet everyone where they need to be. To those that are listening, you can go to our website and you'll find the contact information. If you just want to give a call to the office, they'll make sure that the right person gets the voicemail or gets the phone call. And then there's also a staff directory on our website where you'll be able to send an email directly to Mr. Wilmson, Mrs. Mrozinski, any of the fifth grade teachers. Mm-hmm. And all of our staff is going to be so willing to work with each family, because at the end of the day, we're all working toward the same goal and we want all of our kiddos to come in excited. And we have faith that it's going to be a good experience for our kids. So we work together to make that happen. So I want to thank you all again for your time and engaging in this conversation, and I just really appreciate all of your insight, your advice to our families, and thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yep, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Inside LaPorte Schools. We hope you enjoyed hearing the stories that shape our community. Remember, this podcast is about you, your schools, your stories, your community. Stay connected, stay informed, and be proud of the difference we're making together.